Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about proofs of the resurrection. I'm here on the set with Pastor Glenn Davis. We're talking about what the Bible says in relationship to the evidences of, the proofs of, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, in the court of law, they say that you need to sentence someone, there must be the preponderance of evidence. The preponderance of evidence is very clear in the Scripture that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and that the Lord Jesus Christ physically, bodily, rose from the tomb. We're looking at some of those evidences today. The preponderance of the evidence, number one, the stone is gone, rolled away. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you study the Scripture, understand the stone was placed there by the Roman soldiers. A seal was placed on it to make sure that no one could get in. And by the way, I believe that seal was there also to make sure that nothing could get out. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ came up out of that tomb. The stone is gone. The Savior is gone. He is gone. He's no longer in the tomb. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what I call the plethora of eyewitnesses, the first thing that we see is Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. As I outline in my book, The Proofs of the Resurrection, I make a statement. First of all, the risen Savior appeared to Mary Magdalene according to the Scripture. Pastor, read those verses for us. It's in John chapter 20, verses 11 and following. John 20, 11 and following. And then we'll look at Mark 16, 9 and following.
Amen. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Amen. That's another clue.
Had, past tense.
Had. Amen.
That's right. Wasn't there.
Amen. And then he said, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, mm-hmm. and knew not that it was Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. Amen.
Amen.
So right there,
she recognized him as master, as Savior, as Jesus.
But one thing I learned about the Lord Jesus Christ, just like my mother and your mother, nobody can call your name like your mother can.
That's right.
My mama had a way of calling me, and I knew
that she
needed me for something. Amen.
Right.
And when Mary heard, amen, Jesus called her name in such a special way, mm-hmm. she had so much love for him.
Yes.
She wanted to worship him and praise him so much till she fell down upon her knees and called him Rabboni,
master,
which
Savior.
Is That's to right. say master.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise God.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus appeared, first of all, the first appearance after his resurrection was to Mary. The second appearance, ladies and gentlemen, according to the scripture, he appeared unto all the other women. Same text.
Matthew
28:5. And then verses 8 through 10.
Mm-hmm. 28:5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Amen?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear your insight, your questions, comments. Perhaps you've had some questions about the physicality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've had some doubts about that. Perhaps you've heard some to say, or perhaps you have been involved in a cult, Christian cult, or a denomination that says that the resurrection is not important, that whether you believe it or not, it's not germane, or that somehow, some way, you don't need to believe in the resurrection, or that the resurrection, there's no proofs of it. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917.
Amen.
And then,
amen.
Pastor, found in Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, we're talking about now the second appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus appeared to the other women, as the scripture says, in Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Jesus, or the scripture says him, referring to Jesus. And very early in the morning, by the way, Pastor, I like this text. That's where we get the sunrise services, Easter sunrise services.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
The scripture says that they came to the tomb very early in the morning, the first
Amen.
Day of the week. They came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. That's
Amen.
The sunrise service. And when and they said among themselves, I like this. That I've used this text many, many times, ladies and gentlemen, preaching it from the pulpit. Notice now what this is, what is happening. Look at the dynamics, Pastor, of this text. In verse 3 and following, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And in the Greek text, that's where they didn't say it one time. They were kind of mumbling to themselves as they were trotting along. Who's going to open the sepulcher? How are we going to get in? Who's going to move the stone? And when they looked, that is, they looked up, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. That is pointing out the empty tomb again, ladies and gentlemen. But then in verse 7 it says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before them unto Galilee. There ye shall see him as he said unto you. And by the way, Pastor, there are a lot of people say Jesus never predicted, Jesus never said that he was going to resurrect from the grave. And that is simply untrue, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, the way that the angel is speaking, it says he's not here. He's risen as he said.
Amen. Praise
so
God.
Jesus himself said that I lay down my life, and if I lay down my life, I will take it up again.
Amen.
And the only reason he could say that, ladies and gentlemen, because Jesus Christ is God. But, Pastor, the third physical appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ was to Simon Peter. Look at the text, if you will, for us, our audience. 1 Corinthians 15:5. And let's see what it says. And then we'll look at Luke 24:34.
Amen. Amen. But you know what, Dr. Youngblood, I also want to say, I heard another pastor say, another proof that Jesus got up from the grave. And I have to say this laughing because yeah. it's kind of funny in a way. But it makes a lot of sense.
That's good.
See, his mother must have taught him well. Because when he got up, he made up his bed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, you will find it because in, John chapter 21.
Amen. Amen.
There was this garment, as it's called, the wrappings, were folded and laid in place.
Amen. 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 So,
read
amen.
That for us. It appeared
I thank God
Simon
for that.
Peter. Yes.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:5. And it says here, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once.
Yes.
Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep.
Yes.
Amen.
That third appearance then is Simon Peter, called Cephas in the scripture. And there's several other texts, and time won't allow us to trace down all of these for you, ladies and gentlemen. But if you're sitting at your table and you're studying, and you're making notes, and I pray that you are, Luke chapter 24, verse 34, Mark chapter 16, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 15:5, the scripture says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So, ladies and gentlemen, not only do we see that in that third appearance he was seen of Simon Peter, but ladies and gentlemen, the fourth appearance, Jesus appeared unto the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the road to Emmaus.
Amen.
And that's a fantastic study, because in Luke's gospel, Pastor, the 24th chapter, verses 13 and following, I'm going to read those verses, and then you and I will talk about it. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they walked together of these things, and they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near and went unto them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another, as ye walk and are sad?
Pastor, my.
I don't know of anything that's any more human than what we see with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. As I put it in the preaching and the teaching of the text, they're walking along kicking a can down the street, forlorn, looking at the rocks in the road, and just mumbling among themselves about Jesus' crucifixion, about his death, about his burial. But they had not understood what he had said about his resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
And there's Jesus as they're walking in that forlorn condition, that position. As you study the balance of the 24th chapter, I recommend you read the entire chapter of Luke chapter 24. It is so filled with human truths and with the sadness and the sorrow that they were facing because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ spoke to them, wondered, why are you sad, is basically the question. And then the scripture says in verse 28 and following, and they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made, and the scripture says, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, that's the two disciples, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. He's eating dinner with them.
My.
He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. And the eyes were opened and they knew him, speaking of Jesus. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed.
Amen.
And hath appeared unto Simon. They said, not only has he appeared to us, but I understand he's appeared to Simon too.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So they were rejoicing together. Ladies and gentlemen, they recognized that they had been walking with, they had been talking with, they had been fellowshipping with, and eating a meal with the resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's the sixth eyewitness, Pastor, the sixth eyewitness, the disciples that gathered with the Lord Jesus Christ as he spoke to them. In fact, if you would read for us in Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the 12 different occasions of eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ after his death, burial, and resurrection. It's what I call the proofs of the resurrection, because Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, the scripture says there are many infallible proofs of the resurrection.
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Share that text with us, Pastor.
Amen. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them.
Yes.
First, we have to learn how to follow the instructions.
That's right.
We have to go where the Lord tells us to go. Right. Amen.
And he had already told him, by the way, Pastor, that after I'm risen, I'll meet you in Galilee.
Amen. Amen.
He had already predetermined. If you'd put it in the vernacular today, he had put it on his calendar for appointment and reminded them to meet him there. And this is what you see in this 28th chapter.
Amen. 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 And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. You know, that's a sad situation right there, because I heard you read some numbers a while ago about how many Christians still don't believe.
That's right.
For me, it's not biblical for a Christian not to believe in Christ. Amen.
Absolutely.
How can you be a Christian when the word Christian means follower of Christ?
And a believer.
Amen. Now, if you don't follow him and if you don't believe him, how can you trust in his word?
That's
amen.
Right.
And then it goes down to say, amen. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Yes.
And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you have any questions, any doubts, anything that you'd like to ask or add to this discussion today about the proofs of the resurrection, love to have you call in, love to have your dialogue and discussion on this very, very important issue as to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a seventh eyewitness, Pastor.
Amen.
And it's one that I'm so appreciative of when you study the text. It is one that we call Doubting Thomas.
All right.
Doubting Thomas. Thomas didn't believe. In fact, Thomas said, unless I can put my hands in Jesus' side and see the nail prints in his hands, I will not believe.
Amen.
So what happens? Jesus appeared to Thomas.
Amen.
Read that text for us. It's in John, the 20th chapter. John chapter 20, verse 26 through 29.
Amen. John 20, 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Mm-hmm. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unbelief causes us to miss out on a lot of blessings,
absolutely,
Dr. Youngblood.
Absolutely.
And I think, amen, if Jesus had not been there, this young man still would have missed out.
That's
amen.
Right.
It says here, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
Praise God. What a wonderful response. Amen.
Yes.
But some people, even after Jesus shows you, when he gives you the proof, some still walk away in doubt.
That's right.
But when we look at it right here, he gave a command. He said, be not faithless. Amen.
Right.
Don't be absent or devoid of faith after you have seen the concrete proof and evidence for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this is the reason why some are still walking around right now in doubt.
Yes.
Some are still in disbelief. Some don't know what to believe.
That's right.
But you have to know and understand, if Christ has not risen in your soul, then my brother, sad is your case.
That's
amen.
Right. Absolutely.
Praise God.
And that 29th verse, Pastor, is the tying up of the loose ends on that. He said, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So, ladies and gentlemen, I find it fascinating, Pastor, as we look at this, that doubting Thomas, Thomas said, unless I can put my hands in Jesus' side and see the nail prints in his hands, I will not believe.
Amen.
So he's saying that now, and Jesus is not present. 8 days later, 8 days later, Jesus is present with Thomas and the other disciples. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen, here's a little footnote that I want to add there. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Therefore, Jesus Christ is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, that is all-seeing, all-knowing, and all-powerful. Jesus was not in his physicality present when Thomas says, I'm not going to believe.
Amen.
But 8 days later, Jesus answered his questions presently in the physical form because he knew what Thomas had said.
Amen.
Then it says, and after 8 days again, the disciples, 8 days had passed, and the disciples were within, and Thomas with them.
Amen.
They're together. And then came Jesus, the door being shut. Jesus entered while they were there. Jesus knew that Thomas was doubting.
Amen.
And Jesus then says to him, then he said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold thy hand, and reach hither thy hand and thrust in my side, and be not faithless, but believing.
Amen.
So
Amen.
he was curing Thomas's unbelief by his presence and saying, here I am, you've doubted. Now I want you to go ahead and see that I'm real.
Amen.
That I have resurrected physically.
Amen. But, and if you notice, Dr. Youngblood, there's an ing on the end of that word believe.
Believing, continuing.
Amen. That means you can't believe just one time.
That's right. You keep on believing.
And this is what's so essential to our faith on today.
Yes.
If we don't keep on believing, our faith will end up in vain, because the devil attacks our faith with all kind of negativity. Even when you start praying, he starts saying to you, amen, some speaking, amen. Sometimes he'll speak to you, God don't hear your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well stop praying.
Right.
You might as well stop believing. You might as well stop going to church. Then some will come fault finding. When they come to the house of God, they find everything wrong with the pastor, everything wrong with the members, but they don't realize if you left one church and go to another, you're bringing the problem with
you. You take the same problem.
Amen? So you need to, amen, quit that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Amen? Forsake that kind of stuff and trust and believe in God and believe, continue believing,
faith in,
amen,
faith in God,
in his word. Because
absolutely,
the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Amen, amen, brother. Amen.
Praise
and
God.
The eighth eyewitness, Pastor, is literally eyewitnesses. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, the Bible says, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So the eighth eyewitness happens to be over 500 witnesses.
Amen.
So if Jesus Christ was just a phantom, then you had 500 eyewitnesses that were hallucinating all at the same time.
My.
And so perhaps that was a great miracle in itself.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And then the ninth one, Jesus appeared unto James, Jesus's brother. And that is found, Pastor, in 1 Corinthians 15:7. If you have your fingers on that text, read that to us, 15:7, 1 Corinthians.
Amen. He said, and then after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Amen.
Yes.
Every one of them, amen, he came and manifested himself unto them, amen,
physically,
so that they wouldn't walk away in unbelief.
That's right.
Because remember, there's another portion of scripture that said, amen, the Roman soldiers were paid a large sum of money,
that's right,
to go back and say that the disciples came by night,
that's
and
right,
stole his body away.
And some,
amen,
still have that philosophy and that false theory today.
Amen.
Because there's actually about 7 different theories of the resurrection that are false: the swoon theory, the wrong tomb theory, a hallucination theory, the stolen body theory, the substitute theory, the temporary tomb theory, and the legend theory. And the stolen body theory comes out of the fact where the soldiers are paid to go and say that the disciples had stolen his body away.
Amen.
And that's still a false theory today.
Amen. But
they were making up their story to save their own hide.
Amen.
That's what they were doing. And then there's the 10th eyewitness that is seen. It is the one that is so fascinating. Pastor, turn to Acts chapter 1, and let's read verses 9, 10, and 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. That's the 10th eyewitness, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Actually, the unit start verse 3, but we're going to drop down to verse 9 for the benefit of time.
Amen. And it says here, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they steadfastly looked toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen.
Absolutely. This same Jesus, not
same,
a different Jesus,
amen.
Not a phantom, but this same Jesus,
amen.
The same Jesus that came down from glory and shed his rich red royal blood, the same Jesus that was crucified on the cross, the same Jesus that was buried, the same Jesus that rose again is the one that is the eyewitness here in his ascension. And ladies and gentlemen, you can also find in your leisure Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 53. And the scripture says in those verses, I'm going to read verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 48 in Luke 24, and ye are witnesses of these things.
Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's the 11th witness and then the 12th, and then we'll conclude it. But on the 11th witness, we see that the scripture says he appeared to Saul. Pastor Reed, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 through 8. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. It's where Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, but he saw the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ in his Shekinah glory. And
amen.
Paul recognizes that and testifies to that.
Amen. Says here, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. Let's get that note. Amen.
Right.
And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Amen.
Yes. Verse 7 and 8.
Amen. Then it says, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time.
So Amen. The apostle Paul says, I saw Jesus.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, there's the 12th eyewitness. The 12th eyewitness. Let me just read you a blurb from my book, The Proofs of the Resurrection, on page 76. For every believer, we say then the 12th eyewitness, that every one of us, you and me both, every one of us has seen Jesus Christ through the eyes of faith. When we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we've not seen the physically resurrected body, but through the eyes of faith, we've seen the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Pastor, it's my prayer today that those that have listened have been blessed, encouraged, and challenged. And I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that you've said yes to Jesus and that you've seen him in his resurrected glory through the eyes of faith.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Happy Palm Sunday.
Amen.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.